Good evening, Bristol Bay, and welcome to the Fish Report. The daily run summaries from Fish and Game are up and running. Iggy Gake's run is slowly picking up steam, though effort is a little lower than normal. The Nooshigak is coming along as well. It's Monday, June 22nd. I'm your host, Izzy Ross.
Gone fishing. There's a sign up on your door.
Pops, don't blabbing around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked.
Coming up tonight, there's been some confusion around reporting COVID-19 test results in the Bay. We've caught up with Chamai Clinic Director Mary Swain to clear up what's going on.
Patients were still being seen, but they just didn't hit the state reported database.
A Seattle-based processor was sued for false imprisonment and failing to pay workers traveling to a Bristol Bay cannery after more than 100 of their colleagues were forced to quarantine in a Los Angeles hotel or lose their jobs.
Without pay and without the right to leave your room at any time. The key cards that they were given to access the rooms, our understanding is they were deactivated because if you leave the room, you can't get back in.
Those conversations and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
First, we're going to take a look at the numbers. The Bay-wide total is at 203,000. The total harvest is at 37,600. That's across all districts. The daily king count in the Nooshigak for Sunday was 1,300. That's bringing the total count today to 10,600 fish. The number of sockeye counted at the sonar site was 7,300, bringing the total count to 58,600 fish. Chums were counted at 1,400. That total is now at 10,600. Fish. Today's Wood River count is 2,278. That brings the total to 37,400 fish. The Yagushik Tower did not make its schedule on Sunday. It arrived this morning, so we should be getting numbers from the Yagushik soon. In Igigik, 12,800 fish have escaped up the river so far for a cumulative escapement of 21,400. The total run is at 78,900. The daily escapement in the Naknek-Quijack was 10,000. That brings the total count to 13,800. The fleet in Togiak has caught 24 fish so far this season. No changes there. As of 9 a.m. this morning, 6 sockeye had passed through the Chignik Weir. Yesterday's count was 3,370. The total count there is now at 25,850. The total early run now sits at 25,560. The late run is at 264. Since there were no commercial openers in Area M yesterday, the harvest numbers there haven't changed. Over at the Port Muller test fishery, yesterday's conditions were unfishable due to winds and seas. The crews spent the day repairing gear and getting ready for an early start. To get the vessels onto the same schedule, the fishing vessel Americanus will go out to mid-transect and fish south, spending the night at Station 2. The Ocean Cat will start fishing mid-transect and work north, then fish back toward the Americanus on Tuesday. Technician Michael Link says Saturday's conditions on the transect were the worst since he started working on the project in 1998. The barometric pressure gradient over the south end of the transect late Sunday night was really something, he says. The Ocean Cat steamed through 17 to 20 foot seas to get through it. ADF&G's Gene Conservation Lab has the first round of stock composition results from June 19th and 20th. They show the biggest push going to the Nooshigak District, almost 22% of the sample size. We're headed to the Wood River. 18% are going to the Nooshigak. That's closely followed by Igigik, where 17% of the sample size was headed. 15.5% are going to the Naknek, 7% to Yagushik, and 7% to the Yagushik. The tissue and scale samples from fishing on Friday arrived in Port Muller at around 4 Sunday morning. They were on a Lake Clark airplane by 12:30 p.m. and arrived in Anchorage in the last hour, a record of less than 24 hours since the last fish in this sample came out of the water on Station 8. Technician Michael Link says that they'll take victories in all forms these days. Taking a look at permit and vessel numbers now, we're seeing some increases in both categories on the west side. But first, we're going to take a look at Igigig. As of today at 9 a.m., Igigig had 267 permits and 214 vessels. That will increase to 286 permits and 229 vessels on Wednesday at 9 a.m. There are 53 D-boats today, and there will be 57 on Wednesday. As of 9 a.m. in the Naknek-Quijack, there are 94 permits and 84 vessels. That will go up to 99 permits and 88 vessels on Wednesday. The number of D-boats will go up from 10 to 11 Wednesday morning. As of today, in the Nooshigak, the registration totals were 213 permits and 177 vessels. Those will go up to 261 permits and 215 vessels on Wednesday. The number of D-boats is currently at 36, and that will go up to 45 Wednesday morning. Registrations in Togiak will remain the same, with 22 permits and 22 vessels both today and Wednesday. There are zero D-boats in the Togiak district. Finally, in Ugashik, there are 7 permits and 6 vessels. It will remain the same both today and Wednesday. There is 1 D-boat in Ugashik, and that will remain on Wednesday. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
As the fishery kicks off this summer, the run and harvest are picking up in Igigig. KDLG's Sage Smiley checked in with management biologist Aaron Tiernan.
How are things looking in Igigig in terms of effort and catch and escapement?
Okay, yeah, so effort is a little bit lower than normal, but it's not super low. Escapement through yesterday, June 21st, we have a total of 21,000 fish. And for harvest, harvest from yesterday's period was about 33,000 fish, which brings the total to about 58,000 for the season. So harvests have increased a little bit period by period, and escapements are climbing each day. So things are starting to come online in Igigig.
In terms of where things were last year or in comparison to the past, are things on track where they're supposed to be?
Things appear to be a little late right now to start up compared to the last couple of years, but I don't think they're extremely late by any stretch.
So what are you keeping an eye on going forward?
Right now, I'm just going to continue to watch our escapement numbers and our in-season test fish to see how that data looks. And then, yeah, we're just going to keep approaching it to ensure that we our escapement is tracking where it needs to be.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep.
At the end of last week, the state reported 7 new cases in the combined Bristol Bay and Lake and Peninsula boroughs, but that didn't line up with the numbers published by local clinics. I talked to Sage about what got lost in translation. Hi, Sage.
Hi.
Why did the state report 7 cases that local clinics didn't seem to be reporting?
I talked to Chimay Clinic Director and CEO Mary Swain, who basically said that the discrepancy in reporting was a technical issue. Here's what she said.
Unfortunately, due to an error in the reporting system that providers call into to make the report, they had an Ethernet cable go down. And so when they were leaving their messages, it wasn't getting translated to whatever system they get processed in. So therefore, the state wasn't receiving them. Patients were still being seen, but they just didn't hit the state reported database.
So those cases that were all reported at once on Friday were actually the counts from the entire week. One case from June 14th, 3 from the 16th, and 3 from the 17th. Here at KDLG, we've been trying to sort through the state's reporting system, and so have some of the local clinics. Here's Mary Swain again.
Over the weekend, they reported a case in Bristol Bay Borough, which I believe they reported out on Sunday. However, we don't have an active resident case in Bristol Bay Borough. And what I think happened is our region in the state database is Bristol Bay Borough and Lake and Penn. And I think they shortened it and only put Bristol Bay Borough, but I believe I'm going to get clarification, but I believe the one that was reported on Sunday is actually a Lake and Penn Borough resident.
Since Alaska residents from other communities are reported in their home communities and out-of-state visitors or workers are reported separately, it's been a bit hard to track how many cases are physically in an area. That's why Swain started adding the total number of active cases to her press releases. She says she thinks it's vital that people understand what's happening in the community. She is in communication with the state to try and get a clearer reporting system for the physical location of active COVID-19 cases in the state. Right now, there are 8 active cases in Bristol Bay Borough, including local, Alaska resident, and non-resident cases. For Lake and Penn and Dillingham, the latest numbers we have are from Friday. In Lake and Penn, the total number of active combined cases was 6 as of Friday, and Dillingham had 2 active cases. We'll give an update when we get new numbers from BBAHC, hopefully tomorrow.
Great. Thank you so much for that update, Sage.
Thank you.
And Silver Bay Seafoods has confirmed that at least 2 of the borough's backlogged results were from Silver Bay's processing plant in Naknek. Silver Bay had an additional positive test result on the 13th before the Ethernet outage. Abby Frederick, the external affairs liaison with Silver Bay, said in a statement, quote, "During routine testing, we received 3 confirmed positive test results for asymptomatic processing workers who were in quarantine on site and were not in contact with the community," unquote. Frederick said the employees were isolated and chartered out of Naknek to receive care in Anchorage. She added that Silver Bay conducted additional testing of staff on site and that all of those results came back negative. According to Frederick, the first case tested positive on June 13th, was then isolated and left Naknek on the 14th, and the 2 others tested positive on the 17th and were isolated and flown to Anchorage on June 18th. We're going to turn now to some ICE news. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association is helping finance 3 different ICE providers this year. If fishermen cannot get ICE from their processor, they can purchase ICE from the following places, and you can inquire with each supplier regarding those prices. In the Nooshigak District, the Bristol Maid at Clark's Point can be contacted on VHF Channel 73 or 78, Northline Seafood's Barge, Scherner's Channel opposite the flats, Orange Flag and Orange Light will indicate that ice is available for other fleets. Northline is providing slush ice as opposed to traditional flake ice, and they can be contacted on VHF Channel 12. The City of Dillingham Boat Harbor can be contacted on VHF Channel 16 or at 842-1069. In the Naknek-Quijack, the Bristol Lady Y in Naknek can be contacted on VHF Channel 73 or 78, or by calling 246-6860. In Igigik, Hanua, that's a BBEDC contracted vessel, can be reached at 843-1937, or Red Bluff, that's for slush ice. In Ugashik, Coho, that is another BBEDC vessel, can be contacted at 843-1937, north of Tender Row, slush ice Seabird, that's an E&E Foods tender near Dago Creek, can be contacted on VHF Channel 79. Those numbers will be available on the KDLG website when we post the show this evening. And if you have ice available for sale in Bristol Bay, you can contact Andy Wink at BBRSDA at andy@bbrsda.com or 907-677-2374. A Seattle-based processor was sued for false imprisonment and failing to pay workers traveling to a Bristol Bay cannery after more than 100 of them were forced to quarantine in a Los Angeles hotel without pay or lose their jobs. That was after 3 people tested positive for COVID-19. The complaint was first reported by the LA Times. I looked into the lawsuit and filed this report. Around 150 workers, many from Mexico and Southern California, were traveling to Bristol Bay to work at the Red Salmon Cannery in Naknek. When they arrived in LA, they were told to go to the Crown Plaza LAX Hotel to be tested for COVID-19 and quarantine for 4 days. That's when things got complicated.
They told us that they had gone there to be processed for employment and were being tested for COVID.
Jonathan Davis is one of the attorneys who filed the suit. Once the workers got to the hotel, he said, they were told to wait in a crowded hallway and fill out paperwork using shared pens, which allegedly put them into close contact with each other for several hours.
They were in very cramped quarters. They were very distressed because they were in these close quarters using the same pens. They didn't feel like proper protocols were being followed.
The workers then went to individual rooms where nurses administered coronavirus tests. According to the complaint, 4 days later, the day they were supposed to travel to Naknek, the results for 3 of the workers came back positive. All 150 of the workers were told they had to quarantine for an additional 11 days until June 25th.
Without pay, and without the right to leave your room at any time. The key cards that they were given to access the rooms, our understanding is they were deactivated because if you leave the room, you can't get back in.
Davis says that the workers were told if they left their rooms, they would be fired immediately.
We know that some workers were fired because they left their rooms, and we know some workers have left because they've been very distressed and very upset by this whole situation.
Davis does not know how many left or how many were fired. He says the company should have been following the Los Angeles and CDC guidelines, and that requiring people to stay put without pay violates California's wage and hour laws. During peak salmon season, Red Salmon Cannery employs about 500 workers, according to the complaint. Laurie Moore, with the cannery operator North Pacific Seafoods, said in an email that the workers have since flown in a charter to NACNEC, which was provided by the company. She said North Pacific has been focused on the health and safety of its team and the communities where they work, and that it's following the state requirement that seafood workers quarantine for 14 days and test negative for COVID-19. Quote, "We took extensive steps to provide comfortable accommodations where those individuals could remain while they were quarantined," unquote. Moore said they provided the workers with meals and lodging, allowing them to self-isolate throughout quarantine. She added that each person was tested and retested during quarantine, and that some who did not want to remain in quarantine left the hotel. Davis, one of the attorneys who filed the lawsuit, says that since North Pacific decided to operate during a pandemic, it needs to follow through responsibly.
You can't say, I'm going to run this company, but I'm going to do it on the backs of folks who are going to have to sit in a room for 2 weeks and they can't leave or they're going to be fired, and we're not going to pay them for that period of time. And certainly, if you don't let people know, that's what you're intending to do.
The lawsuit is asking for North Pacific to pay the workers for the time in quarantine. Among the charges are false imprisonment, 3 charges for failing to pay workers or meet minimum and overtime pay requirements, negligence, and unlawful business practices. Davis says the fact that the workers have been moved to NACNEC doesn't change anything about the lawsuit, only how much the company would have to pay in compensatory damages. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross. Lots of things are different this summer. The Dillingham Harbor has a set of safety rules aimed at keeping people safe, but boating operations weren't the only thing that changed at the harbor this summer. Visitors and definitely locals may have noticed that Tide Table Coffee at the harbor isn't open right now. Like so many other businesses, the shop had to adapt to restrictions because of COVID-19. Owners Ian and Chanel Foe were one of the only businesses working there this spring. They closed for a couple of weeks this month, but they'll be back soon. I caught up with Ian right before they closed up ahead of the early season influx.
We reopened on Mother's Day. First day was definitely surprising to us. You know, we had a lot of support from the community, which we were really, really grateful for. So ever since then, it's been pretty steady, pretty busy for us, you know, and we've been us too, my wife and I have just been running the business for now, just to so that we can maintain our social distancing as well. And we've been getting through it, and it's been going well.
I saw that you guys are taking some time off this month. Usually this is your busiest time of year.
So we're going to be closing from the 6th to the 26th of June. And we just mostly just want to err on the side of caution with the virus going around. We're in a unique situation here where we have a huge influx of people into a small area, you know, and we're kind of right in the middle of it with our business. And not only that, but just the two of us working also, for us to maintain this pace, we're going to need a little bit of a break also. So it kind of just worked out, the timing worked out where we can take a little break, time for ourselves, kind of regroup, do some subsistence fishing, some sport fishing, enjoy our area, and come back refreshed and able to, you know, provide the service that we expect of ourselves. So
financially, I know, you know, small businesses have been kind of trying to figure out how to move forward after having to close and everything. Financially, what's the situation like? Have you guys been struggling at all?
I wouldn't say we're struggling or anything, but I, you know, it definitely took a hit just taking that time off. And for now, it's just things are changing every single day. There's something new every day, so we're just taking it day by day and just kind of making our decisions based off of that. We don't know what to really expect in the future, so.
I know Tide Table's like a walk-up drive-through operation anyways, so it's not like they're in the building with you. You're still like, you know, pretty close to people.
it's pretty ideal situation where people are driving up and nobody's coming into the building, so we can keep that distance. We're like just taking the extra precaution of not being a part of any kind of spread of that, of the illness or anything like that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't require other people to really do anything. We just make sure that we are prepared, mm-hmm. and we're pretty diligent about wearing our face mask and keeping our hands clean and everything like that.
And Tide Table will be back open on Friday.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
That does it for the show this evening. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast, and then we have some messages from the fleet. In the Bristol Bay Marine Weather Forecast, tonight a northwest wind at 15 knots, becoming a west wind at 10 knots after midnight, seas at 1 foot. On Tuesday, variable wind at less than 10 knots, becoming a southwest wind at 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet. And Tuesday night, a southwest wind, 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a north wind at 15 knots tonight, seas at 3 feet. On Tuesday, a variable wind at 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. And Tuesday night, those conditions continuing, variable wind, 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, low tide this evening at 11:12 p.m. at 0.7 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 11:26 p.m. at negative 1 foot. And at the Igigig River entrance, low tide at 9:47 p.m. at negative 1.2 feet. In messages to the fleet, to Captain Doug Morgan on the fishing vessel Miss Emma, Doug, great news. Your 4th of July food drive is a hit. We've reached the burger, patty, and cheese goals, also the refreshment goal. The only thing we're short on is buns. We're going to do everything we can to help you reach your bun goal. Stay safe out there. We miss you. That's from the Oracle. Thank you for listening to tonight's show. If you'd like to get in touch or give some perspective, give us a call, 842-2200. You can also send an email to fish@kdlg.org. That is also, if you'd like to get a message out to the fleet on this show or to say hi from back home or wish them luck, you can send your messages to the fleet to fish@kdlg.org. And it works the other way too. If fishermen want to get messages to listeners back home, just reach out to us. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. That's all for tonight, folks. Good night, good fishing, and catch you back here tomorrow.